Monster Man, episode 261, Time Elemental, and Transposer. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we'll be taking a look at two peculiar monsters that kind of play around with senses of identity. Both from the T chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement to Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before I do that, though, two bits of business to take care of. First, I want to thank some new Patreon backers. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And if, like today's backers, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other show, Patron Deities, which is all about the Deities and Demigods book. We got a new episode coming out this week, part of our continuing series on Native American mythology, and it covers Stone Ribs, the hero of the Haida people, and the Thunderbird. So hopefully should be a good one. So thank you very much to James Torrance and to a Patreon backer who's increased their pledge level, Andrew M. Reichert. I really appreciate the support from both of you. Thanks again. Secondly, I feel like there's not really anything I can say that you haven't already heard about the COVID-19 pandemic. I myself worked from home quite a lot anyway, so it hasn't created an enormous change in my lifestyle, although a little bit of one, and there isn't really anything that I can do other than to try and provide this podcast to help keep you entertained during the times that you are hopefully staying safe. I hope that everyone is doing what they need to take care of themselves and the people that they care about. Everyone's washing their hands, everyone's practicing social distancing or observing other precautions. And if you are one of those people who, because you're in an essential occupation and can't just stay home, thank you so much. It's beyond me to express how much the rest of us are indebted to you. But like I said, my main role in this whole thing is going to be providing 10 minutes of harmless diversion from the world around us. So let's take a look at some Dungeons & Dragons monsters. First up, we have the Time Elemental. Now, I actually did a special episode about Time Elementals way back in the long, long ago. That was in August 2019, and you can go back and search through the archive for Time Monsters, and you'll find that. I was pleased to see that the Time Elemental in Monster Manual 2, which I hadn't read when I did the episode, I don't think. So long ago now, I don't really remember. So long ago. It was 7 months, but it's been an exciting 7 months. Anyway, the Time Elemental episode included some suggestions for what these monsters could be like, and I'm pleased to see that some of those things are present here in the Time Elemental in Monster Manual 2. Time Elementals can manipulate the flow of time to age you rapidly. They come in a variety of different sizes, which have, or different like levels of hit dice. The more powerful ones are also more intelligent, so there are regular Time Elementals, then you got your noble Time Elementals, and at the very end they discuss the possibility of royal Time Elementals, who dwell on the plane of time and are even weirder and more inscrutable than their everyday, that's not the right term, cousins. One of the other fun things they can do is bring other versions of themselves from other points on the time stream to help them fight you. That's kind of a neat idea. Because they're not very unique looking, initially it might just seem that, oh, there's a bunch of them, but when you hurt one, all the others will take damage, so hopefully players would then start to figure out that, like, ah, this is just something that interfaces with time rather differently than we do. Similarly, because they can travel in time, they can escape by moving, quote, sideways in time, whatever that means. And also, if they are chasing you, they often get to wherever you're going before you do because they're capable of just traveling forward in time to whenever you arrive. So that's neat. I think they're suitably confusing that they're not really good choices for kind of an ordinary dungeon encounter. You'd kind of want to build them into something that had more of a time travel theme about it. Like if you had messed around with time travel, then the Time Elementals came and got you. I realize that's the plot of that Doctor Who episode. But I think it works because they're so alien to human experience and their motivations are so inscrutable to human thought that it wouldn't really make a lot of sense for them to be motivated by the usual kind of stuff that monsters are motivated by, right? They're not lurking around dungeons waiting to mug you for your gold pieces. The description of the Royal Time Elementals says that they serve, quote, certain deities, close quotes. Thanks! If I had to assign a deity to these things, I think I would start with something like something really inscrutable and weird, some kind of Clark Ashton Smith nonsense, you know what I mean? Like, there's a Clark Ashton Smith story called The Chains of, I'm gonna say, Aforgomon, and if it's Aforgomon, then that's life. I've never even read it, I only know it because it was in one of the frankly kind of pointlessly exhaustive monster books the Chaosium put out during the kind of Call of Cthulhu 6th edition years, or maybe 5th. And Aforgamon just messes around with people who get involved in time travel, just kind of appears and kills them with burning chains, which is a bit boring, but I just mean that, like, they should serve some absolutely inscrutable cosmic deity, and not, you know, Zeus or Odin or whatever. Maybe you could get away with it with something in the Egyptian pantheon. I think people tend to expect Egyptian deities to be a bit strange. So I like them. They're mysterious, and they're weird enough to go with their mysterious background, which is not always the case. Next up, we have the Transposer. Now, this is more of a combat gimmick monster, a bit akin to a doppelganger. And, well, maybe not a doppelganger, but it does something that's not, like, an unfamiliar idea from fantasy fiction or from myth and legend, but, you know, it creates an interesting tactical situation. So what the Transposer does is it hits you, and if it hits you, it can then establish a connection between you and it. And what that means is that if it has hit you, then any damage that you do to it hurts you and heals it. So if you hit it with your sword and you do 8 points of damage, you take 8 points of damage, and it gets 8 hit points back. The only way to actually hurt it is to cast a healing spell on it. Now, weirdly, you can't hurt it by harming yourself, which would seem to be the other logical extension of this monster's ability. I mean, I guess that wouldn't be a very advantageous ability. It's also not the case for any attack made on it by anybody else. So it's not the case that, like, your allies shoot at it and that accidentally hurts you. Unless it's established that bond with the target, they're not transposed. So tactically, the way to beat these things in a fight is either to, you know, swap dance partners, right? This is the old kind of Justice League thing. The Justice League will be fighting the bad guys, and, you know, Green Lantern will be really struggling with Sinestro, and Superman can't beat Metallo because he's got that kryptonite heart, and then they swap dance partners. So Wonder Woman comes over and beats the stuffing out of Metallo, and then Batman, he beans Sinestro with a batarang, and then Superman flies over and just, you know, deals with the Riddler with contemptuous ease. And I don't know, Aquaman tells a shark to bite Gorilla Grodd, like, whatever. So, I mean, it's a bit like that, right? Like, if you're stuck in a fight with a transposer and your buddy's stuck in a fight with a transposer, the best thing you can do is switch transposers, because then they'll have to go through the whole rigmarole of establishing the connection again. Transposers also have the ability to make themselves look like some other kind of monster. So they can look like a human, or they can look like an orc, or what have you. I think the best way to approach this is to give some kind of clue. So you could stumble across the bodies of a party of, you know, hobgoblins, and they're all lying there, and you're like, huh, all these wounds seem to have been made with hobgoblin weapons. And then, you know, you come across the transposers disguised as hobgoblins, and suddenly you begin to realize what happened to those hobgoblins you found earlier. We don't really get any information about where transposers are from, what they do, what their deal is, why we should care about them, or they don't have a narrative hook. They're a purely tactical opponent. I think it wouldn't be hard to fit them in amongst the doppelgangers as, you know, something that is sort of, I mean, they're kind of designed to go in there and mess people up, right? So you could sort of say, well, if you know that your opponent is someone who likes to answer questions with the sword, then a transposer is a great assassin to send against them. You know, and you could almost, like, set them up as duplicates of yourself. I think that would be fun. That also, if you're an evil wizard, you have a bunch of bodyguards who are all transposers, and they just look like you. If they can make themselves appear like another creature, I think that could be kind of fun. You know, that would add that same theme of transposition to the fight, and it would kind of give the transposers something to do. Because once again, they're so kind of slightly weird that it doesn't make sense that they're wandering around dungeons mugging people for gold pieces, but we don't know what else they're supposed to be doing, right? Like, they're not as good as a random encounter. I mean, they're a fine random encounter because they have this little tactical challenge to them, but they'd be more interesting if they had a more clearly developed motivation. And I think they seem like specialists to me, you know? All right, well, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. Our next episode, we're going to take a look at the last set of monsters from the T chapter, the Triflower Frond, the Troll, comma, Marine, parentheses, Scrag, close parentheses, and the Twilight Bloom. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.